so scared. I wish I had a ham sandwich to calm my nerves. We gotta, like, find a place to hide. Where are you going, fuzzy face?
Back to the 80s.
That's what I was afraid of. Oh, wait for me.
This is Back to the 80s Radio. We have a great show for you today, filled with stories, the absolute best music, the special guest, entrepreneur, podcaster, content creator, Aida Dawson, coming up. So you want to stick around for that. Our email, in case you want to drop us a note, is back2the80sradio@gmail.com. That's back2the80sradio@gmail.com. Don't forget to leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to us. Now, in studio with me is a man that has more Bananarama albums and posters on his wall than anyone on earth. He has been seen many times in the 1980s riding a lowrider bicycle with a sidecar and a full life-size poster of the Safety Dance Midget. Some people call us the Ying and the Chang. Welcome back to the 80s after a little time off due to the snow and the storms that are in your area.
Salute, Toscano, to my most favorite Italian besides the late great Chef Boyardee. Everybody out there, hola, said the one-eyed Chola. Toscano, tonight, now I don't want to talk about the weather.
No.
Because yes, ladies and gentlemen, it was very hard on all of us. Anyone that has ever suffered through wind, rain, snow, sleet, massive hail, floods, hillside sliding, sinkholes, you will know that Mother Nature has not been kind. We've been away from the microphones for a while. The blizzards were heavy where the Chang is. Yes. 4 to 5 to 6 feet of snow. Oh, no. Now, Toscano sat by the pool with just drizzle.
I did
for
not.
3 months. It's so good to live by the beach. Me and the boys are out surfing. Well, I was in the sleet and the snow in fear that all Sasquatch right. would take over my dwelling and eat my pit bull and Staffy.
Toscano was laying
by the poolside eating tuna sandwiches with the ends cut off. Well, him and the boys swam in the pool, a heated pool.
No heated pool.
Light drizzle.
No. Look. All right. So it wasn't light drizzle.
I can't look.
It wasn't light drizzle, but we did have about 4 to 6 inches of rain. And
I'm drowning in my tears.
But we consider ourselves blessed because of the area we're at. And we do know that you got quite a bit of snow, but there's a lot of people that got it even worse, where the tornado hit in Oklahoma and many other areas where it completely wiped out towns. So I consider ourselves blessed in spite of everything that that you've gone through and a lot of people that are listening to us, Chang. But don't miss today's show because we are going to be taking a virtual ride back to our favorite decade and talk about how vastly different it was and how much better in some ways and not so much in some other ways. So stick around because this is the one and only Back to the 80s Radio with the Ying and the Chang.
Nobody has the movie I want.
Hey, if it's on video, Blockbuster probably has it. I mean, we have over 10,000 videos.
Wow.
I'll watch these fast and have them back tomorrow, I promise.
Relax. At Blockbuster, you can keep your videos for 3 evenings, so take home plenty. And use our 24-hour quick drop.
Do you have any children's videos?
Sure. Blockbuster's America's family video store. You know, we have more kids' videos than any place else. And more movies, more nights, more fun.
Blockbuster Video. Wow. What a difference.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Shadow Stevens, and you must listen to Back to the 80s Radio. It's the law.
Welcome back to Back to the 80s Radio, hosted by yours truly, Toscano and Chang.
Today's topic is going to be a little bit different because it is at the request of
controversial?
It can be, but at the request of many of our 80s family friends and fans,
suppose.
We are going to be taking this into various topics that have to do with how vastly different it was back in the 1980s. The things that were better and the things that weren't so cool, if you know what I mean. But I want to start talking about a subject that has changed so radically. The face of how we used to live. And one of the most significant differences between the 80s and today is the way we interact with one another. I mean, back then, people were more likely to have a face-to-face conversation with someone. They spent more time together in person. Sure, you can say, well, there was no internet, there was no online. Well, there were many distractions still, but we chose to have our social interactions done in person, sometimes by choice.
That's correct.
Sometimes by chance, and sometimes we didn't have a choice. There was no such thing as social media, and people didn't rely on text messages, emojis to communicate. In the 80s, if you wanted to talk with someone, you had to pick up the phone or see them in person.
Or you had to write a letter. I mean, when you were in high school.
Oh, yes.
In the 80s, or in grammar school. If you wanted to get somebody's attention, maybe a girl or somebody's attention in class, you wrote a freaking letter. But that's how we communicated. Do you remember having a buddy or somebody you knew, a girl, and could you get their number for me? And then calling them and then hanging up on them because you were too shy to listen to their parent or a brother or another sibling giving you the high hard one on why do you want to talk to my sister? I mean, that was the difference. Nowadays, you can just like get a number from somebody or look them up on social media. I'll send you my email and da 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 da. You know what I mean? Hashtag, hashtag, hashtag. I'm a wuss because I can't come to your face and do it the way that my parents or my grandparents hooked up. It's intriguing, the difference. And it's crazy because like I have grandkids and they're all about the way that I just made fun of that we're talking about. You know, they're all about social media and technology, you know, getting a hold of each other, you know, but back they would probably think me and you are like fighting dinosaurs off with some freaking sticks or something because we didn't have that.
Right.
You either
right.
passed a note or you grew some guts and you went ahead and you actually communicated with somebody.
How many today, both young and older, that have relied so much on the phone? And I'm talking that part is on the older folks. The newer kids, well, they don't know any different. They're growing up with this. It surprises me how a lot of people have lost the art of talking, communicating with one another. We used to use our own mouth, our own voices to communicate. And now it seems like we just don't know. And the youngsters today, they get lost. You look at their face and it looks like it's a deer in headlights. And I'm not talking about every single one because there are some youngsters that are pretty bright, but there's a lot of them, the ones that I've seen that they're carry their phone everywhere. And without their phone, they just don't know what to do. You know, we've seen these little couples that sitting at restaurants. They're not even looking at each other. They're texting. Who are they texting? If you're on a date with a girl or the girl's on a date with a guy, why would you want to be on the phone texting someone? You want to be looking at them.
Well, they're into their devices more than they are the surroundings.
Right.
And the surroundings are what have to break the individual away from the device. I also see that typically in family functions and events, because I too fall guilty when I've been with my grandchildren and they fall into that. And then I got to kind of tell them what I think about that. You know what I'm saying? And I probably sound like I'm probably riding in to go have dinner with them on a freaking horse by me telling them, hey, you know, that's not cool. You know, you were with family. You had a conversation. If you went somewhere, you gave somebody your undivided attention. That's called respect.
And I've seen families at restaurants where none of the family, the parents don't look at each other. They're not on their phone. I've seen grandparents where either the granddad or the grandmother is on their phone. They don't look at each other anymore. What is so gosh damn important that you can't leave your screen for the time that you are having dinner?
We have been consciously and subconsciously conditioned.
Brainwashed.
That our phone is everything.
This is Back to the 80s. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, entrepreneur, podcaster, content creator, Aida Dawson coming up. So you want to stick around for that? We're on the one and only Back to the 80s radio.
Minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 4, 4, 5.
for man. One giant leap for mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, rock and roll.
MTV has been heralded as fresh and innovative and criticized for being shallow.
When MTV first hit, this was the biggest talk in the universe.
MTV dropped a grenade into our world.
Everybody was watching MTV.
People had it on like the radio.
I want my MTV!
Made international stars almost overnight.
We had no idea what was going to happen because of MTV.
It gave a visual representation to the artist that they did not have before.
But you never looked at music the same way again.
Hey, some of you remember the 80s vibe, right? Well, it lives loud and proud on Back to the 80s with my pals Toscato and Chang. Welcome back. This is Back to the 80s Radio. As promised, we have Aida Dawson, entrepreneur, business owner, car enthusiast, race car driver. Oh my gosh, you've done it all, Aida. Thank you for being on Back to the 80s.
No, thank you so much. I definitely appreciate that.
I know for a fact that you are, let's say, an old soul at heart. You love the older music, and I know you love cars all across the board. I've noticed that this newer generation really doesn't know much of the past generations. And that includes, we're talking the early 2000s even, 1990s, let alone the 1980s. It's weird. We, as the older generation, should be teaching the younger generation about when we grew up, where we grew up, etc. But why do you think that there's this gap of no knowledge? I mean, I blame it on us, my generation, not teaching the younger generation. But what do you think it is?
I would definitely think it's probably a combination of, you know, different things. I mean, one, it being, I don't know if it's been really passed down from the previous generation to our generation. So in a sense, I think you do have a point there. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, life has just changed so much and so drastically from the 80s to the 90s to the 2000s. Even up to this point, it's just so drastically different. And I don't think that's a fault of anyone. I think it's just the way that, you know, life and the generations have continued to roll on. And, you know, it is funny, though, that you mention, you know, the difference, because I've spoken to quite a few people my age. You know, for everybody out there in the audience, I'm 25. You know, I'm a half a century old or quarter century old.
Oh, my goodness. Don't try to seem older. That's not going to work. Not with me.
Well, I appreciate that. But yeah, no, I've spoken to a handful or quite a few people actually who really value and respect the 80s. And I think that was really the time that was just so special in terms of upcoming fashion and culture and lifestyle and music. And I think it was really the beginning of just, you know, modern day life moving forward. That was really the start of it. And I know there's a lot of people who wish to be back in the 80s, and, you know, all my friends' parents, you know, and people I know that are of that generation, they loved it. They had the time of their lives, and, you know, they said that the 80s was just the best to grow up in all different aspects.
You are one of the few people that I know personally that actually knows some of the things that transpired in the 80s, some of the music, some of the artists, etc. Let me put it to this way. I was listening to a conversation between a parent. The child must have looked like 10 years old or something like that. This was at a store, and a stranger walked into the conversation and said, "Oh, told the little child, do you like so-and-so toys?" And the kid said, "No, I don't have any toys." Every child should know what a toy is, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that just boggles my mind, but you know, obviously that kind of just shows the gap, you know, between the 80s and even the 2000s. And then, of course, now I think people who did grow up in the 2000s do have a bit more commonality with, you know, the 80s in terms of just, you know, ethics, morals, you know, the way of life, you know, is still somewhat kind of the same, but just different in its own way. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, you know, a 10-year-old not knowing what a toy is except for the screen, that just boggles my mind.
Now, talking about popular culture, what are some of the biggest differences between popular culture?
Technology is one of them for sure. That's probably one of the biggest differences. I think there's a difference in how people relate to each other, you know, and again, that kind of relates back to technology. And also too, I think it was just a slower time. Like people took more time on dates or more time at the movies or more time with their families at dinner. You know, it's things like that that I think really is significant in terms of differences.
The pinnacle of technology in my household was cable TV. You know, you had cable TV and satellite. By the way, did you know that satellite TV was this ginormous, literal satellite dish placed in a backyard? Like it was huge. It was a big satellite dish. Once again, I blame it on my generation. I don't blame this new generation for not knowing how to socialize as we did. My generation saw the advent of everything technology, and we were so excited. Look, when I was going to school, I remember the teachers would say, someday there's going to be a phone called a picture phone, and you're going to pick it up. It's going to have a little screen, and you're going to be able to see the person on the other side, right? And believe it or not, those phones did come out, but they were so expensive, nobody bought them. Like if you bought one for like $3,000, that didn't do you any good because you needed to buy two so you could see the person on the other end. So we had no idea. And it was just a time that even, you know, movies would show us how exciting it was going to be. So we were just like, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. But then when it hit us, we couldn't handle it. We couldn't handle all this technology at once for us. And so when the younger generation came out, we taught them our being out of control, if that makes sense. We got out of control because we're like, oh my gosh, a screen in front of me. Oh my gosh, a little pocket computer. In that sense, yeah, you're absolutely right. So technology and socializing. If you could travel back, what is one of the experiences that you would like to have from back then?
Definitely probably going to a nightclub or just to go dancing at a disco. You know, I think people back then from the videos that I've seen and just heard, you know, the dancing was just unparalleled compared to today's dancing. And I think back then people just really had the groove and they just had, you know, the excitement and just, you know, trying new things in the clubs and, you know, really, like I said, I think they were just the beginning of the modern world that we know today.
I know that you love music. What are some of the bands or performers that you like from the 80s?
Well, this might be a little bit ahead of time, but it was still relevant then. Earth, Wind, Fire, of course, Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, Prince, the Commodores.
You love the rhythm.
I do.
See, that says a lot.
It's everything about the beat, at least for me.
What can you tell me are the major differences between the music that was older compared to today's music?
The lyrics with themselves are completely different than today's music. You know, there was a lot more value behind the lyrics back then in the 80s and what people were singing about rather than today's music. Also, too, I think the beat was just unrivaled. You know, the beat of the 80s was just, you know, I mean, we still hear it to today's, you know, in today's world. And it's just, there's nothing like it. The amount of upbeat music and just the funk that the 80s had is just, you know, unparalleled. And also too, you know, back then people really sang and performed. Unlike today, everything, you know, you can make anyone sound very, very good today.
And auto-tune.
Yeah, auto-tune. Back then, I love it because people really did, you know, real performances and there wasn't all this technology to, you know, clean everything up. And, you know, you really got to see the artists for themselves, you know.
If you could go back and tell someone young back then something about this new generation, anything you want, it could be something good, it could be something bad, it could be just what would you tell them?
I would tell them that it's far different, and it's, I don't think it's as genuine as the 80s, you know? Yeah, genuine. I would say if given one word, it would be genuine originality.
We'll be right back. This is Back to the 80s Radio with the young and talented Miss Aida Dawson.
Ouch. You remember the first time you tried these games, Space Cadet? But with practice,
Captain Galaxy! And when you first tried Coke, I bet you said, no, thank you. But hey, hey, hey! Let's try Coke again. Because once you got that new wave taste, you want to try it again, again, and again. Practice makes perfect. Catch the wave, Coke.
Hey, this is Laurie Miller from the first and original Exposé, and you're listening to Back to the 80s Radio.
Aida Dawson, thank you so much for taking some valuable time out of your day to be with us on Back to the 80s. I hope it's not the last time.
Anytime. Thank you so much, Toscano. And I'm just so happy to be on here. And, you know, shout out to everybody listening to Back to the 80s, you know, wishing you all just a great, wonderful year ahead.
Any shout outs to anybody in particular?
To my homegirl, Jaden. You're phenomenal. To my girl over in Atlanta, Alicia. Keep on rocking with everything you do. And just to everybody in my little village that's just helped me to get to where I am and continues to be of support.
And thank you all for listening to Back to the 80s. We're going to be right back.
Commercials, bad. Music, good. Now with zero commercials. Please help support and send your donation today.
We are going back to the 80s.
All right, we're back here, Back to the 80s Radio. This is Toscano from the Dynamic Duo. Well, we were talking about social interaction back in the 80s and how vastly different it was from today. But another one of the items that go into social interaction were friendships and our hangouts. Back in the 80s, hanging out with friends meant going to places like what you mentioned. You mentioned going to malls, playing arcade games together. We went to the movies. Movies were huge for
us.
Yes,
brother.
People would spend hours at malls trying on clothes, even just catching up with friends and window shopping. And today—
Nonsense.
Yeah.
Was it not, bro?
Yeah.
It was nonsense. Adolescent nonsense. But yet we were communicating. We were meeting. Toscano, do you remember going to arcades, going to the mall, and then meeting people you didn't even go to school with? You would gather up phone numbers. What? Phone numbers?
There would be sometimes a group of people that you had no idea who they are, and they're just looking at you play the arcade game. And then sometimes you didn't have anything to write with, so you had to remember the phone number. But
I did a lot of drugs. I don't remember phone numbers.
But they were a huge part. They were a huge part of our life. You met up with people, with girls, the girls with guys. What type of mall did you go to, or what mall did you hang out to when you were young? Go ahead and send us a little note here at backtothe80sradio@gmail.com. And we'd like to hear from you and let us know what kind of hangouts did you have back in wherever you grew up. Nowadays, malls, brother, are struggling. Arcades they're pretty much non-existent.
They're dying.
And
they're dying.
People prefer to shop online and play video games at home than go somewhere and have that social interaction. And I heard from many of the youngsters saying, we have just as much social interaction, if not more, because now we play online. What they fail to recognize is that just talking to somebody on a microphone is not the same as looking at their faces, talking with them, and making a connection.
Right.
You don't really do that in a level of playing video games unless you're always meeting up with that person. I remember going to malls in Santa Fe Springs when we were teenagers, and you know, sometimes we'd go just for the food court and to see what girls we could pick up on. And sometimes you met girls that you had never seen before. They were from maybe different high school than where you used to go to. And you know, it was just social interaction at its best. And it's just a shame that as the decades that followed the 80s, it started dropping. And because of technology and the convenience, that experience of social interaction is slowly coming to an end.
You know what, bro? There's a joint that a lot of cats can check out nowadays. It's called Dave & Buster's. I mean, they got arcade games.
The world's most expensive arcade.
Yeah, it's an expensive arcade, but come on, man. Don't knock them down because they grab the concept of what that generation, which is now the generation of grandparents and parents, to where that was the vibe. They've crossed food, alcohol, and video games of the yesteryear. So they have that vibe. They've caught the 80s vibe to stay alive. The other thing I wanted to point out is, trip on this. You know, anybody out there, like Mario said, hit us back with, where did you like to hang out? Give us a name or a spot in your favorite mall, your favorite store. Oh, if you had a neighborhood arcade, what was the name of your neighborhood arcade? What game did you dig? Hit us on all of our social media facets, because we could not do this show if it wasn't for you. We've celebrated. We've done it all in the 80s. So we definitely want to hear from you. Toscano, on the fun note.
Yeah, I am on a drug. It's called Charlie Sheen.
Winning. Yeah. I'm on that drug right now. Winning. You brought up your favorite mall going down to Santa Fe Springs. We grew up in the same area. Remember the Stonewood Shopping Center?
Oh, I remember Stonewood Shopping Center. Used to be outdoor. Now it's indoor. My favorite mall back then was Cerritos Mall and Lakewood Mall.
So if you know, Cerritos and Lakewood were kind of upscale, but they had the best shops, you know, the best eateries. But the one thing I recall was they didn't have the arcade or
Cerritos did.
The movie theater that was really big. The La Puente Mall because we had that huge theater. We had slot cars. We had miniature golf. I mean, I remember meeting so many people at the La Puente Mall, checking out the late night, 12 o'clock midnight showing of Black and Blue.
Now, isn't that what
Black Sabbath
La Puente
Oyster
Mall
called,
isn't that Puente Hills Mall, or is that the same thing? Puente Hills Mall, La Puente
it's
Mall?
It's the same place. I forgot the hills. The reason being, it was built on a dump, an old dump, just like the Montebello Mall presently is built on a former landfill.
Yeah.
But let's get away from the politics. Please don't make me go.
I know that they filmed Back to the Future at that La Puente Mall.
That's right. And the DeLorean car,
which
ran on cocaine, much like the designer. But that's another story back in the 80s.
It is.
My point is, I missed a word. I'm so sorry, Lord Toscano. Please don't bring out the Chrome 45 across the radio console later.
Hey, I want to give you guys a quick reminder before we continue that you can always send us a note if you can't reach us through our email or if you forget our email, backtotheeightiesradio@gmail.com.
Right.
You could always go to our Back to the 80s Radio Facebook page and send us a direct message there. You could even go on Twitter or anywhere else to send us an idea for a topic here that you want to hear or a song that you want us to play. And we'll definitely give you a shout out as well.
Why would the Cerritos or the Lakewood Mall be of your favorite as opposed to the Puente Hills Mall or the Glendale Galleria?
Well, let me give it to you this way. My dad used to take to two of the main malls, which was Lakewood and Cerritos. So I got to spend more time there and I used to love it for Christmas time. Now, when I started getting older my teenage years, then of course I would go to the Glendale Galleria. I would go to the Santa Anita Mall. And believe it or not, one of my favorite malls was Brea Mall because they had an ice skating rink there. And there were it was a great hangout. It was on the second floor where the food court is today.
Yes.
And I did go to La Puente Mall. When I was 14 years old, my buddy and I would take his mom's baby blue Fairmont station wagon with it was baby blue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we were 14 years old. He lived in El Monte, And we would take it from El Monte on the freeway at 14
El Monte.
To La Puente Mall. 14-year-old.
Toscano, what do you think that car would go for nowadays? As hideous as it was.
Oh, my gosh.
But as cool as it was in
now,
our generation.
Well, I'm sure that somebody would probably pay a pretty penny now because of nostalgia. But mm-hmm. I can't see that car being worth more than $500 in great condition today.
Let me ask you this. Did you learn how to drive illegally, or did you go with the confinements of taking it in school?
No.
Driver's ed,
no.
Getting a permit and going legally.
No. I learned, my dad would put me, so when I was anywhere between 10 and 11 years old, he would put me on his lap and have me drive the car in the middle of the street at 10 or 11
years
old.
That's good shit.
Now,
that's good.
When I was 12, I was already driving somewhat with my dad in the passenger seat. Now at 14, was the first time I drove pretty much on my own. Oh, and
I
remember one night, one of my buddies, he had a mini truck. Remember those mini trucks? They were very low.
A mini truck.
Very low to the ground. And the guy
had a Chevy.
I said mini truck. The ones that were in mini truck clubs and they had big speakers and they would drive by your neighborhood and rattle your windows with the bass.
Yeah.
So one of my friends had one of those, and he was drunk at a party that I went with him. And he says,
"Best way to be."
He says, "Mario, I can't drive back. You're going to have to drive." My friend was 23. I'm 14.
What?
He was 23.
What?
I was 14, but I always used to let go in him because he went to the best parties, best house parties. So my friend gets drunk and he says, "You know what? I can't drive, and you're going to have to drive us back. And you know how to drive stick shift, right?" And I go, "Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, no problem." But my friend was so drunk, he never noticed how many times that car stalled on me on the street. And that night, it was early morning, like 2 or 3 in the morning, I learned how to drive stick shift at 14 years old on my own just by watching others drive stick shift. So that is the story. But you know what gets to me, Chang, is that beautiful experience of those hangouts that we had. Whether it be arcades, whether it be shops, or whether it be malls, they are practically disappearing today. There's still some malls that get packed, but not to the extent of what we had before.
No,
because as we've mentioned many times, we have exchanged the experience of all that for the convenience.
You know, I wish I would have been able to teach my girls how to drive illegally at a certain age. But, you know, my wife was very strict. And, you know, my wife, Miss Anna, she's an 80s lady. Don't get me wrong. You know, when I first, my eyes first bestowed upon her, she reminded me of Paula Abdul. I would have liked to have taught my children how to do something like that, drive illegally at an early age. But I didn't. You know why? Because I'm sure you didn't do that with your boys. And I kind of bended myself and I kept the hair only. The only thing from the 80s I kept was my hair and my bong, but I totally changed. You know, my kids had to go to driver's ed and they had to do things the right way. You know what I mean? 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock. And, you know, they had to go everything was structured. But I remember just like you, I was 15 years old. Me and my cousin Bobby used to sneak my mom's Datsun 710 wagon out of our carport and driveway. We would push this car out of the carport and driveway. We would, if my mom was home, we would get the keys with a coat hanger. Remember the wire coat hanger?
Oh, absolutely.
Which could always get in a car when you lock the keys in there.
Through the window, yeah.
We would grab the keys with that. I would shake my German Shepherd so he would make noise. My mom would think it's a dog making noise. We would snake the key, go out the back door of the backyard, let my dog out to play in the yard. You know what I mean? He's making noise. We could push the car out, push it halfway up the street, jump in it, and start it. I was 15 years old. My cousin Bobby was 16, a year older than me. Taught me how to drive. We were going to Hollywood. We were going to...
At 15 and 16.
We were going to the Puente Hills Mall when I was 15, and I was driving 15 years old, and it was a stick shift.
Oh, yeah.
So the very first vehicle I learned how to drive illegally, I was 15, driving a stick shift Datsun B2 10, my brother. So just like you, we did things that were out of the ordinary to where nowadays it would be devastation. But not only devastation, nowadays we lack the interaction of kids uniting to think of a game plan like that. Correct, my brother?
Right. They, for the most part, the ones that I've seen would probably not have a clue as to where to start. Or you know what? Not even that. They just don't have the need. I think the majority of young boys that I have seen, because they're friends of my kids, they didn't even have the need to drive, that urge to drive like what we did.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, let's talk more about this subject, because this is our life back in the 80s. And I want to play a little bit of something that we used to hear when we were going to house parties. This was from 1984, Starpoint and the Object of My Desire, on the one and only Back to the 80s Radio.
Radio Toscano and Chang. Tonight we are talking about everything that you can imagine in the 1980s, the difference between then and now. I would have loved to have taught my children at a young age to drive. Same with my grandchildren. You know what I mean? But we had to change. Isn't it insane that we have seen that our children cannot even have the urge to drive, where they can rely on Uber, Lyft?
No, it's crazy. Like I was telling you during the break, some of my boys' friends from school already, you know, seniors, and they just turned 18, and they don't have a license yet. And when you ask them, don't you want to drive? They're like, I'll just take an Uber. I don't really need to drive right now. There is no sense of urgency. And then, you know, no. I try to tell them, you know, one of the biggest accomplishments of any teenager back in the 1980s was to be able to drive. To be able to drive legally, hopefully one day, but we still did it illegally, and it was so liberating. There was a sense of freedom that we had.
It was exactly.
And it was such
a sense of freedom.
You know what, brother? Whenever I used to drive in the 80s, I felt there was like a drug. It was a rush that we could go anywhere. We felt invincible, that we could just absolutely drive anywhere we wanted. And we had no idea. We didn't have the experience that it took to really handle serious drivers. But luckily, we didn't have stupid people behind the wheel looking at their phones and being distracted that way. They were distracted in other ways.
No. The one thing that has not changed is the lack of sensibility of then and now with teenage driving. I lost many of friends, especially my best friend, due to being under the influence of something and being behind a motorized vehicle and perishing. We see that nowadays, just as we did in our generation.
Right. Yeah.
And it's sad to know and think and realize that occurrence still happens. It doesn't matter the generation, the mindset, but that is a problem we still have. Lord knows that one day maybe we will get our grips and not do that. These nowadays, the millennials and even a little bit older will Uber or Lyft. Where's the concept of take the bus, take some type of transportation, go out there and experience, learn how to read a freaking roadmap?
Now, back in the 80s, people didn't get offended as easily as they do today. You could tell a joke. You could use slang without worrying about offending someone. You could
say the name.
You could tell people, oh my gosh, don't be retarded, you know, or that guy's a retard or a jerk or this and that. Or you could mention people's ethnicities. You could say, hey, remember that guy in the corner, the Puerto Rican guy or the Mexican guy or whatever it was, and people were not offended. Nowadays, people are quick to take offense, and a lot of the words and phrases that were once considered harmless are now considered offensive, and even to the point where they're starting to call it violence. So it's important to be sensitive to other people's feelings, of course, but sometimes it feels like we're walking on eggshells, Chang, that now comedians can no longer be as free as they were to come up with material because of the fear of being canceled, because of the fear...
Oh, big time, bro.
Because of the fear of being called out on, and maybe even the police on, or the people who feel offended will write a letter to somebody who they know, or start a movement, or bring it to the news. And now not even comedians feel free.
The reason I think it is because mankind has wrapped up in self, even me being a Latino or being Native American, it was frowned upon if I made fun of my own race, too sensitive. But then at the time, it was also, you could only perform in this front of this crowd because it's accepted more. You can't take that material and go to another house of race. Which, you're going to offend
now,
everybody.
Let me interject here for a second. And the worst part about it, brother, is that a lot of, if not the majority of the people who are complaining, for example, if you talk about your own race, the people who are complaining aren't from your own race. They're not. And they are saying, well, we are embarrassed for, or we are hurt for that race. Recently on YouTube, there was a young man, And he went dressed up
the
with
Caucasian.
He went dressed up with a poncho and a sombrero to Olvera Street in Los Angeles.
Orderly, I'll be there in a few days.
Now, check this out. He's white, and he was dressed this way. And he went with a microphone asking either, you know, anybody who was not Hispanic, do you think it's offensive or racist the way I'm dressed? And the majority said yes. Now, he went to Mexican people in Olvera Street, and he said, do you find it offensive the way I'm dressed? Every single one of them said no, and that they liked the way he was dressed. So something—
you know, the point you bring about, bro, this is what I'll say in a nutshell. You know, I hope I don't offend anybody, but again, you know what I mean? I really don't care who I offend. I don't ever say anything to offend anybody. I just say what I feel, and I feel what I say. I feel that right now society, no, not society, freaking America, on the glimpse of a civil war, we have forgotten who we are and where we come from. You know, I can go out on a limb and say, I know what I am. I'm 73% Native American. People have told me to go back where I came from for my last name or the way that I talk, because you can kind of tell when I get emotional or I get angry, I kind of draw back to where I came from. So I talk the neighborhood lingo. So it's very funny to me that so many people nowadays are in fear of bigotry, being bigots, or being brought out that they're bigots, they're closet bigots. So they want to go ahead and silence everyone so they don't stand out. You know what, brother? I'm going to take everybody out with a song from 1980 from the late, great John Lennon. And something that I ponder, and a song that hits my heart and my soul every time I listen to it. I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round, and so are you right here at Back to the 80s Radio.
People say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing. Well, they give me all kinds of warnings to save me from ruin. When I say that I'm okay, well, they look at me kind of strange. Surely you're not happy now, you no longer play the game. All kinds of advice designed to enlighten me. When I tell them that I'm doing fine, watching shadows on the wall. Don't you miss the big time, boy, you're no longer on the ball.
Thank you. I just had to let it go. I just had to let it go.
Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, 1985, songs from the big chair. The things that were different in the 1980s and how we compare them with things today. Another one of those things, Chang, that was vastly, vastly different from the 1980s to today. Timeless music. Both the timeless bands, the timeless songs, the timeless hit singles.
Weak music or
well, what music? May weak be weak for you, may be timeless.
Anything from Chicago,
timeless for some others. But I can tell you that the 80s music scene was the variety of the genres and styles that were popular.
Mm-hmm.
There was something from for everyone, from the synth pop of bands like Depeche Mode and New Order to the hard rocking chops of Guns N' Roses to Whitesnake, Bon Jovi, and even for some metalheads, with those that love Judas Priest and Iron Maiden and Ozzy. Hip hop was also emerging as a genre with iconic artists like Run DMC, LL Cool J, and it paved the way for the music industry's future, Chang. Never in history, after that, has there been another decade with so many hit singles. Timeless songs that came out of that decade. I mean, we still listen to them today, and they continue to inspire new generations of musicians.
You only want to say that music nowadays sucks, and you'd rather listen to Poison and Guns N' Roses and Madonna over anything new.
That you got,
you know what?
You're gosh dang right.
You know what? Let's go in and let's get away from
this. Well, no, because
please.
The whole topic.
We're going to put on the gloves, and you're going to put on your Michael Jackson glove.
I already got it on.
My D. Snyder glove on. Let's just end it.
All right. This topic, we're not here to mention every single band.
Of course.
This is just to talk about how in the 80s it was so different because of the variety of music. And we can talk a little bit about the variety of music from the 80s.
Damn straight. Michael Jackson, Jackson 5, 70s.
Okay. This is an 80s show, though. All right. But nowadays, of course, the music industry is very different from what it was.
Weak.
The variety of genres is still there, but mainstream music has become homogenized, with the majority of the sounds of these songs sounding almost the same. We see fewer hit singles, fewer songs that stand the test of time. And part of the reason for this is that the music industry has shifted to focus on streaming and individual songs rather than albums, making it harder for artists to create a cohesive body of work.
I couldn't agree with you more. Toscano.
Go on with your hate.
Now, my God, you see how you set me up for the hate. I was going to explain something to you. In the rap genre, okay, the hip-hop genre, have you not listened to some of the new artists with their catchy names and their shocking names? But they rap, to me, in an uneducated way. They really don't tell me a story, but yet they use a lot of techno in their voice tracks. So they kind of all sound the same, they kind of sound a little bit slow and stupid. Everybody sounds the same. There's nothing to me that sets one rap artist aside from the other. I don't hear struggle. I don't hear positivity. I don't hear using your music to rise, as opposed to what I recall when rap started and hip hop started in the 80s with Run DMC, the Sugar Hill Gang, another group from the 70s. The same with some of the rock and roll. And we're talking about music. And
Don't get me started with rock, man, today.
No.
Don't get me started.
Rock and roll back in the day was transformed from the 70s. That's why I mentioned some of the bands at Chicago, Aerosmith, Judas Priest, Journey. Great bands, great artists. Peter Frampton evolved in the 80s. Robin Trower. So many artists came from bands in the 70s. But they managed to change their style and coexist in the 80s, which in the 80s was a all-accepting music business. We could all thrive on one song or another. Why? Because it reminded us of a good time.
It's not a secret that I do not listen to any new rock. I don't listen to it. Don't ask me to. But I did, and the reason for that, by the way, the reason that I don't listen to any new rock is because, to me, the new rock sounds all the same. Case in point, I went to the House of Blues a week and a half ago. I went to see Miles Kennedy with Alter Bridge, okay?
That's badass. Badass.
Okay, more power to you. And Wolfie was there. Wolf Van Halen was there, Van Halen's son.
Right.
Eddie Van Halen's son. And there was a band. There was a band before this. They all played well. They lacked a spiritual variety that rock and roll used to have. All three bands sounded the same. Even Wolf Van Halen sounded, his music is very similar. Recently, there's an album by the band Extreme, and there's a song called Rise. Now, the band Extreme has been around since...
Matt Nuno, good guy.
Yeah, so the band Extreme has been around since the 80s. And I've been listening lately that the next coming, or the guy who's basically taking over Eddie Van Halen's place as the greatest, you know, shredder, is Nuno. And I agree. Okay, fine. I 100% agree. I listened to the song Rise, which is, you have to listen to the song Rise. Have you heard it, Chang?
Better than anything they put out before,
okay.
I'll say that.
Okay.
They're more matured.
Okay, I'm glad you think
they've,
so.
They've added a lot more to their music. Okay. Their maturity and age is, I can tell you this. A great deal. Yes, I agree.
Because of the solo that we used to have in the 80s, Nuno has brought it back.
Yes, exactly.
And they are now, between the world of musicians, they are saying that this is a possibility that rock is maybe going to come back to life the way it used to be. I loved the solo, but oh my gosh, they sound like any other new rock and roll band.
You know what? I have to disagree with you.
It sounds
I've
the same.
Seen Miles there, Kennedy.
It doesn't sound, the variety isn't there. It's just not there. It's just not there.
You know what?
It's like I'm listening to any of the new bands that you could see on movies like American Pie.
You know what? Anyway, you haven't opened your mind yet.
No, I've
you
been
have not opened.
I've
mind.
Heard the songs, and you cannot get me to listen to an entire album. I've done it, and I can
okay,
tell
you know what?
I don't like it. The variety isn't.
I'm going to give you
and period.
I'm going to give you three names of three LA bands that are now that are badass. You
all
can
right,
close your mind, close your ears, but you can go turn off your headset.
Okay,
I'll enlighten our listeners.
All right, go ahead.
To three bands from Southern California.
All right, go make
that
it quick.
Will change their mindset from listening to you, and drinking wine.
All right,
and saying, "Oh, Tabitha, please don't play any new music. Let's listen to some Bon Jovi."
All right, go.
We'll get a little bit frisky and listen to Rick James.
It's not just Bon Jovi.
Are you ready? Are you ready for three bands?
Go ahead. But those are your friends, and I'm not talking about them.
Now, what friends are these?
Oh, go ahead and mention your bands.
I'm talking about three bands.
Go ahead.
Put Your Ears Around the Rival Sons.
Yeah, there you go.
Vintage Trouble.
There you go.
And Dirty Honey.
Okay.
If you want to take a step back into musical greatness and the aura and the feeling of what it is to be a band and to play music, not for money, not because some scum-sucking suit, pansy-ass fashion freak wants you to be looking good next to Katy Perry with her big boobs, her fake black hair, and her real no talent, to be on one of these heinous shows that America Got Talent and we're on TV, so we want to see what you look like, what we can make your voice sound like, and then we're going to promise you the ever-so-loving world of sex, drugs, rock and roll, nothing for yourself, turn you out like a two-day hooker business. I'm talking about those three bands, Class, Balls, Guts, and the real essence of rock and roll.
Those bands that you're talking about, first of all, are not new bands.
No.
Okay.
But they're newer
no.
in the capacity of what you're talking about.
No. They're not new bands, and they're not sounding like most new rock is today.
At all like the trash now.
Exactly. It doesn't sound at all. So that's what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
So
that's
we can't.
I'm
so I'm not.
But then don't forget the Black Crowes of the 90s either.
Well, I'm not talking about them, and I'm not talking about grunge either. That came to ruin everything. So I'm not talking about that. For most people that are into rock of today, more power to you. It's a free world. Listen to it. Enjoy it.
That's right.
And
that's me.
Great.
That's me. Say it. Say
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
If you want to be a Chanks?
I want
gangster,
you to show me though. Where are the new?
I'll show you nothing.
Where are the new AC/DCs? Where are the new Bruce Springsteens? Where is the new Queen? Where are the new Tom Petty's? Where
Greta
is the
Van Fleet?
No. Where is the new Van
yes.
Halen? Where are the new U2s? The new Phil Collins? The new John Cougar Mellencamps? The new Pink Floyds?
Wait a minute. Don't get ahead of yourself. Where's the new Phil Collins? He made it in Genesis. He became pop. You know what,
Phil Collins? It doesn't matter.
He looked like the Gerber baby, all grown up. Come on.
Obviously, you have no idea what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay. So where are the new Aerosmiths? Where's the new Blondies? The new Motley Crues, like they used to sound at one point. The new Police. You know, they're
Motley
done.
Crue sucked after what I'm their saying first album. Is.
The 80s had variety because each one of the bands that I mentioned, and I can go on and on and on and on and on and on, they're all different from each other in every single way. And we just don't have that today.
If you want to see another Queen, then you're going to have to wait. There are bands out there.
You know what? They're not coming back. They're not coming back.
They're coming back, but you don't want to see that they're coming back.
Okay. Yeah, show me when they get here. On that note, this is Back to the 80s Radio.
Wow.
And we're going to We're going to go out with the one and only greatest band of all time with a song from 1984, Radio Gaga. This is the one and only Freddie Mercury and Queen. Back to the 80s Radio. You can also hear us on K-Hits 92.5 every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so don't miss that. There is no radio station like K-Hits 92.5 with the largest playlist of 80s music on the planet. But now, ladies and gentlemen, as we come to the home stretch of the show, is the time of the program where we talk about what made us angry back in the 1980s. And in honor of the most divisive and the most hateful Chang, we now call them Changri. So wow. Chang, by all means,
hurts,
by all means, what made you Changri back in the 1980s, Chang?
You know what got me Changri back in the 1980s? Toscano still gets me Changri today.
What's that?
Mullets.
Oh, you know what got me Changri back in the 1980s as opposed to today?
What's that?
Driving without a map and without asking directions because I'm too proud.
You know what got me Changri back in the 1980s and still on my home device? Not getting the high score on Asteroids.
You know what got me Changri back in the 1980s? Going to a house party and all you smell was the Aquanet.
You know what got me Changri back in the 80s? Getting a B12 shot after a sexually transmitted disease.
Remember your butt cheek used to hurt a lot with those B12s.
Oh,
remember that?
You couldn't sit on it. No.
It was like getting a tetanus shot on your ass.
Hey, let's go out for a couple of beers. Oh, I can't. Why are you sitting on a donut? Yeah, I remember that girl, Marcella.
I didn't get a B12 shot.
You know what got me Changri back in the 1980s?
What was that?
Getting crabs, and I didn't have any seafood at the US Festival.
You know what gets me Changri today as opposed to of the 1980s? Concert ticket prices. It takes now $5,000 to sit front row to see Kiss, when back in the 80s it would have been $14.
You know what gets me Changri nowadays? LOL, hashtag, hashtag, hashtag. I'll hashtag your goddamn ass.
You know what gets me Changri today rather than the 80s?
What's that?
All the hunchbacks that we have today because people are hunched over on their phone rather than walking straight up like a human being.
You know what gets me Changri nowadays as opposed from the 1980s? Going to Starbucks and Rhonda going, I'll have a latte, the cream, thanks.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been this week's Changri. If you have something that made you angry in the 1980s, go ahead and let us know here by writing to us at back2the80sradio@gmail.com, or you can just go to our Facebook page and send us a direct message. Oh, it's been great reminiscing. It's been great talking about those memories that we had back in the day. And I encourage you guys to keep introducing the 1980s to a whole new generation. Bring a smile to a person that needs it. Take somebody and introduce them to the music of the 1980s. And in the meantime, have a great week, and we shall see you next Friday.
Here's the Chang. Before I say adios and release you to another Changtastic weekend, I want you all to remember, you all matter. Stand up for yourselves. Stand up for something greater than yourselves, and always stand up for your fellow man. So until next week, I bid you all a sayonara. Hasta la vista. Hasta mañana. Hasta luego. Arrivederci. And to all my bros from coast to coast, catch some waves, tasty buzz, catch you on the flip side. And to all my homies across this land and every bottle, oh, my land.